I'm Andrew West, and this is a podcast from the Religion and Ethics Report on ABC Radio National. Now, a key part of the drama that is Victorian Labor Party branch stacking is the mobilisation of Melbourne's ethnic communities in pre-selection stoushes. In secretly recorded tape, former Minister Adam Somurek, who's since left the Victorian government and the ALP, refers to using Indian, Turkish and Vietnamese communities to strengthen his influence inside the party. But is joining a political party en masse, I guess you could call it branch stacking, the only way for some ethnic and religious minorities to get a toehold in Australian politics? Professor Juliet Peach is head of the School of Government at Griffith University and an expert on migration and multiculturalism.
It's really important in a multicultural society that minorities overall feel included in the political system. And of course, we've got many representatives from ethnic minority backgrounds who are really good leaders in their communities. So we really want to make sure that these one-offs that happen from time to time don't distract us from why it's so important that ethnic participation in politics matters. Of course, we have many migrants who arrive in Australia and are very unfamiliar with the political system. For example, many come from non-democratic backgrounds. They're not familiar with the party system, but they're very keen to be a part of the system. It's something that they're not used to. And so it's almost a sense of a civic responsibility, if you like. It's a way of giving back. So it's unfortunate when that whole situation is exploited. Mm.
What does the international experience tell us about the circumstances when multicultural communities, and we're not talking here about communities of temporary migrants, we're talking about people who've made their homes and livelihoods in a country by choice. What happens when they're not included in the political process?
One of the issues is that they may feel disenfranchised, and I guess political exclusion or marginalisation can perpetuate the view that migrants and their descendants are always going to be outsiders. And this can also have ripple effects in terms of the impact on social and economic integration. So it's really important that they see themselves in positions of leadership. We know from international research that having ethnic minority leaders there in politics has a really positive impact on trust in the political system. And that's very significant at the moment when we're seeing this overall decline in trust in democracy. We know that it builds positive orientations towards the system overall, towards democracy, it builds confidence. So all these things really matter. So that's why the international research sort of suggests that it's really important that we find ways to ensure that ethnic minority groups feel included in the political system. And of course, one way, of course, is actually being an MP.
I've read, though, accounts of politics where the so-called big man syndrome works.
It's very unfortunate that that can happen. The factions and even MPs themselves can often feel uncomfortable when these factions take over. And that certainly came up in some of my interviews with federal MPs, actually. Their sense of discomfort with the way that that works.
Did any of your research look at or find anything about the way, for example, religious communities might be mobilised? And I don't mean mobilised in any way that might be illegal or improper, but are groups, particularly faith groups, often mobilised en masse?
Certainly in Sydney, people tended to want to speak with people who could speak their own language or who could understand their experiences of exclusion. So that may have been based on religious discrimination, but there are often many other factors relating to discrimination, and they just wanted to be able to speak to somebody, one of their local members, who understood that experience. That came up with the Vietnamese, actually. They really wanted to be able to speak to somebody who was Vietnamese. And who understood their journeys.
I do wonder, though, when I read my history about, you know, the Kennedys in Boston going into Boston Irish parish churches, basically drumming up votes, people going to make a pitch in a religious congregation. Again, it's not illegal. Is there anything actually wrong with that?
And certainly in terms of rallying up support for people who may understand their experiences, that's important, actually, that religious groups do have that support in politics and their own experiences of persecution back home or here in Australia. We know, for instance, that non-European migrants are more than twice as likely to experience discrimination. And of course, many of those come from religious minority groups.
If you are excluded from the political process and all that's left to you is the street, the protest, what problems does that pose in a Western democracy?
Yeah, I think this comes back to this overriding sense of we don't trust the system anymore. We don't trust the system will work for us anymore. That's the danger. Protests themselves, of course, are harmless unless there's criminal activity that takes place at the same time. But the protests themselves are in a way healthy for some groups to be heard because they're not being heard in the system itself. That's essentially what can happen when you have large groups who are not included or who feel disempowered, then they'll find alternative ways to ensure that their voice is heard.
Is there a danger, though, in the long term of ethnic and religious groups voting, if you like, purely on those identity terms, rather than becoming, let us say, more diverse in the way that they vote, perhaps starting to vote on the basis of class or socioeconomic interest, rather than pure identity?
We certainly don't find that here in Australia. We find that, on the whole, ethnic minority groups vote for the same reasons that most others vote, on the lines of class, socioeconomic reasons and so on. So they have similar reasons for voting. They don't tend to vote because they belong to a religious group. We don't see that level of mobilisation in Australia. And I think that might point to the success of our multiculturalism overall, actually. We do actually have a very successful history of multiculturalism where migrants do feel a sense of belonging fairly quickly compared to other countries where migrants are excluded generation after generation after generation.
Some politicians, and I've known quite a few over the years, have told me that their attempts to actually recruit more political activists of non-English speaking background from multicultural communities often hit a roadblock because these communities themselves, they don't think much of politics. In fact, they're rather dismayed if their kids who've gotten a TER of 99 choose to maybe get involved in politics rather than something that's, you know, more high prestige, more high achieving as they see it.
This is exactly the problem. And so when you talk to a lot of the MPs, they'll say, we actually want more ethnic representation. We really want these communities involved in our political parties, but they're struggling to sort of get them involved because of that perception. It might be from their parents or their grandparents. It's seen as corrupt back in their own country that they've come from. It's a dirty word, politics. It's not a noble profession. So that's a real barrier to overcome. And this is certainly the case at the local level, where you have a lot of young people who've come up through the Australian school system and very keen, but some of their older generations are not seeing it as a good profession to go into.
Yeah. We prefer you to become a doctor, they say. Well, listen,
yes.
It's great to talk to you. Professor Juliet Peach of Griffith University, she's the head of the School of International Relations, and she's studied ethnic and multicultural involvement in politics around Australia and other parts of the world. Juliet, thanks for joining us on the Religion and Ethics Report.
It's been a pleasure.